We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Former Missouri Senator Jim Talent joining us right now. And Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. You're covering the waterfront this morning.
I am trying to keep it all in perspective for people here. You know, the last thing I mentioned there was the Senate passing all of these judicial appointments for the president. I mean, it's not going to be long before common sense takes over the Ninth Circuit again at this rate.
Yeah, I actually think that there's probably been a disproportionate share of those appointments have been in the Ninth Circuit. I actually checked that out of curiosity about 3 weeks ago, but I can't remember the exact numbers now. But yeah, it's evening out there, and it needed to. I mean, you know, there was a I remember a clerk telling me one time that on particularly immigration cases coming out of the Ninth Circuit, this was years and years ago, right? He said it's almost a presumption of reversal in the Supreme Court because the Ninth Circuit was going off on so many tangents.
And in this particular case, like I see, and I know I've had Hans von Spakovsky and other legal minds on here who've discussed this, that, you know, whatever the politics these days, if somebody can't beat you in the political arena, they try to go to the courts to do it. The resist movement from California all the way to all the other blue states you can think of challenge everything the Trump administration does in court. They seem to judge shop till they find a judge they know will go ahead and throw an injunction on a change until they can try to get into court and change it. Yesterday, the Supreme Court slapped them down again on this asylum issue. And I think this speaks to the problem in this country. If you can't win in the political arena, you shouldn't be able to do it through the courts.
Right. And it would be good if all of us in our minds separated substantive policy from the process rules. In other words, it's important that the process, vitally important that the process rules be neutral and be seen as neutral by everybody. Okay. Because that's what guarantees the right we all have to participate in the game, if you want to call it that. Right. So, and there's no question that if you look at the body of immigration law, control over that is confided in the Congress and the legislative branch, which has in a number of areas, rightly or wrongly, delegated very broad authority to the executive. And what that means is that if you interpret the law in a faithful way, you're going to find that presidents have a lot of discretion on these immigration issues. And that's traditionally what the Supreme Court's held when cases get up there, because that's what the law is. Now, I'd like to see Congress exercise its authority and actually make more decisions instead of just delegating.
Sure.
But it hasn't. I mean, I was always for that. Whenever I was involved in trying to write statutes, I would say to people, you know, these are judgments that we, the legislative body, ought to try to make insofar as we can foresee them. Right. But, you know, until that happens, this is, in most cases, what the law says, and that's true whether you elect a Trump or you elect an Obama or somebody else. So, and I think the Supreme Court's pretty much, you know, held that in these cases.
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday, the Supreme Court issued a ruling lifting the injunction against the new asylum rules. The asylum rules are really modeled after what a lot of courts, at least internationally, and I believe maybe the UN, has suggested that if you're seeking asylum, you should go to the nearest country. That's all that says. In other words, if you're in Guatemala and you're seeking asylum, the first place you're going to encounter is probably Mexico or the first country you come to. It just makes sense. And yet in the dissent yesterday, Justice Sotomayor dissented strongly because the ban comes at a time when the stakes couldn't be higher. To me, she's making a political point on this case and not looking at the facts of the law.
Oh, I agree. Listen, there's one of the problems with all of this is it is discrediting the idea of refugee status. And, you know, for years and years, there was a basic agreement that if you were a genuine refugee, which means somebody fleeing for their life and limb because of a clear political or religious or racial or some persecution. I mean, it was put in place because of what happened in World War II, that you could get permanent status in the United States, even if you would not otherwise have been eligible for it under the immigration laws, right?
Right.
Now, subject to some presidential discretion. Well, when you take that category and you turn it, you know, you claim it's still refugee or asylum status, but what you're really turning it into is this enormous loophole, which means that anybody who can get here can stay here. Then what you do is you discredit that whole idea. And refugee status does not mean somebody coming here because they're poor in their home country. So if you really are a refugee, why shouldn't you stop in the first country where you're no longer in peril?
Right. No, it makes sense. I this morning I used the analogy that it would be like needing a police officer down here in the city, but deciding that you're going to drive out to Chesterfield to find one. You're just going to skip the first four jurisdictions you come to because you want to go find a police officer in Chesterfield instead of one in the city. It's almost the same thing.
And the best way to deal with these kinds of cases where there are a lot of refugees, where there's tremendous persecution or genocide or something, is to establish camps and shelters for people close to the location where they're being persecuted. Now, why is that the best thing? Because in the first place, it protects the interests of countries, you know, against having a lot of people coming in who wouldn't be let in through their normal immigration policy, but also it helps those people more. It's much easier to get to a camp in a neighboring country than it is to travel hundreds or thousands of miles across all kinds of obstacles to try and get to the United States or Sweden or wherever you're trying to go, right? And so, I mean, all this, again, if it's just refugee policy, this doesn't make any sense, right? And that's because that's not what it is, because this is an attempt for people to, in essence, throw open the borders of the United States.
Then AOC would be able to refer to it as a concentration camp. Jim, you're trying to set up concentration camps for asylum seekers.
Well, and to the extent the United States participates in that, and we should, okay, but it's important to make certain that the conditions are good.
Right.
But they're obviously not. I mean, you know, it is the most humane and effective way of actually helping people most of the time.
Yeah, I wanted to get your comments on an interaction in the House. So there was a committee that held a hearing on immigration. It was basically a dog and pony show. They brought people up to try to prove that there's something wrong with our current immigration policies. In fact, the first bite is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez apologizing to these illegal immigrants that they dragged before Congress for the United States policies. Go to cut four.
I'd like to apologize to you on behalf of the United States of America for the dehumanizing policies that they are pursuing, that are frankly targeting you and targeting many people in the United States. And we're fighting for a better country that we can be proud of when it comes to how we treat all people.
Now, she's already proven that she's willing to say and do anything to try to make her point on immigration, but they made the mistake of inviting Tom Homan, the former acting director of ICE. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz addressed him at one point, and her time was running out. So she, instead of asking him a question, she claimed that everything he'd said to the committee was a lie. And then she was out of time and she wasn't going to give him a chance to respond. And he started talking anyway. Go ahead and play that.
If I can respond to the earlier remark from Washington Schultz, I forgot more about this issue than you ever know. So if you say my testimony is inaccurate, it's wrong. Everything I said here is accurate. Bottom line, if you want to go toe to toe, I'm here. I'm here in my own time to speak to the American people about what's false and what's
fact. I'm sure happy to go toe-to-toe with you, Mr. Homan.
Well, I'm here.
Any day.
But you got to let me respond to your question rather than dropping a bomb and running away.
You dropped a bomb and you ran away. I'm sorry, but I would love to see more witnesses come back at him like that.
Did she say he was lying or inaccurate? And it matters. Okay,
and I'd have to. Yeah, I listened to the bite earlier, and his comment was right after that. So we didn't play the first part of it. What she said was, we need to have all of his testimony from today stricken from the record or marked down as she either called him a liar or called him inaccurate. One of the two.
Okay. Well, this liar is worse.
Worse.
But in either event, this is what I was referring to before. And I don't want to lose half your audience by mentioning the word process again. But this really matters and maybe matters more in the long run. So I chaired a committee for 4 years. Okay. So when a witness is if attacked personally, which is what you're doing if you say they lie, or when their credibility is broadly attacked, which is what you're doing if you say everything they say is inaccurate, it is very important for the chairman, notwithstanding the time limits, to say, okay, I'm going to give you, the witness, an opportunity to respond to that, okay? And he should not have to jump in like that and grab it. I don't blame him for doing it. You can't let the members on the dais take advantage of their position in order to discredit people in an unfair fashion. You have to give the witness an opportunity to respond, and you have to do that on a bipartisan basis. I'm actually kind of proud because for 4 years, that's what I did. Now,
good.
I had a committee that was a pretty bipartisan committee, the Small Business Committee, so it was easier. But I didn't tolerate that from the members. I would just have jumped in and said, I'm going to give the witness an opportunity, a reasonable opportunity to respond to what you had to say. And see, the chairman didn't do that. And you really need to do that. That's how the committee is able to work in a way and be seen as fair, you know, by everybody.
It's a great point. Jim, right. I'm out of time. Thank you so much.
Little Hootie. How about that?
I love Darius Rucker.
Yeah.
Country version or Hootie version. Both fantastic.
Yeah, me too.
He's got some country song he did that...
He's got a lot of them.
Well, his big one was Wagon Wheel when he first, like... crossed over.
Oh.
He covered Wagon Wheel.
Okay. He's got one that may play at my daughter's wedding.
Oh, good.
Love it.
Let me listen to, so we'll see.
You may let them play?
No, that they're planning to play.
I think they're in charge, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're in charge.
Mark
completely.
Can't control the music anywhere in his life.
Completely.
He gets like, 4 days a week. That's it.
She's getting married in the first weekend in October, and I'm just along for the ride.
That's right.
By the way, here's your list. My wife's got something called Asana, which like you can assign tasks in Asana. And I keep getting these emails telling me you've been assigned a task.
I need this in my life.
Of course, I don't really know how to sign into it. So I see the emails and I'm trying to keep up with them, but I'll do my best.
So you know the tasks are piling up, but you
don't
know what they are.
There's some tasks somewhere that I'm supposed to be doing, but no, I'm just kidding. I've got the app on my phone. I can just click on it when I want to. Hopefully she's not listening this early. I won't get in trouble.
Or she can just text you the tasks now instead of making you trying to jump through hoops to find them.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that'll happen. So do you see that Felicity Huffman is probably facing some jail time, which Joe Biden doesn't agree with.
I don't think
over
she'll
the
get
whole
it.
College scam
You don't think
thing.
So?
Nope.
I almost hope she doesn't. I think Aunt Becky deserves it for not admitting anything.
No.
Yeah. But I think really? They'll give Felicity Huffman the like year probation, whatever, and the community service and the fine. And I mean, the prosecution's only asking for a month.
One
anyway.
Month in jail.
I
they
have
want
a
her to go to jail.
They're just
going to
go ahead and.
Well, I think that's a good, yeah, good bet.
And maybe they will because of this. She's only accused of spending about $15,000. To influence her child's test results.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt Becky and her very rich husband spent like $500,000 or something like that. They spent some outrageous amount of money that they donated to this charity to get the kid into USC as part of the rowing team,
mm-hmm.
which they never participated in.
Yes.
And on its face, that would seem like a much more serious charge. So maybe they're setting this all up so when they ask for Aunt Becky to go to jail for 5 years to the big house, maybe they'll feel like it's justified. Do you think she should do jail time for that?
I just think that she should be in trouble because she was such a liar about it. I don't care if she spent $5. Aunt Becky, she just wouldn't admit it. So,
yeah, and she tried to, she acted like this was no big deal.
Like, you got caught. Stop blowing it off. Stop pretending like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Own up. So Felicity Huffman was like, yeah, I did this. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah, you've got to at least admit that they're at the end of the day, whether or not they realized it or not, and it seems hard to imagine a scenario where they didn't realize what the money was actually being used for. They donated it to charity, right? At the end of the day, the intent was there to circumvent the system and get their kid admitted to USC, which apparently is not an easy school to get into. And they didn't want her going to Arizona State, which apparently is an easy school to get into, I guess. But that impression you walk away with?
I don't know. This is all so above my head and like the elitist Ivy League. You have to have money to go places. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think
you can buy your way into, clearly if you've got some family history of going to Yale or Harvard, I think maybe it increases your odds a little bit, but I don't know if you could buy your way into one of those. USC's a public institution.
Maybe not buy, but there's probably other strings that can be pulled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may be like a who you know and what they can do without necessarily any money exchanging hands, but this was blatant money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on for years, hasn't it? We know that. So would you sleep in a coffin for 30 hours to try to win something at Six Flags?
It's really not enough money. Though I was there last year when they were doing it last year, and I was like, it doesn't really look too rough.
Today is the day you can register for that.
Didn't look rough last year, did it?
If it matters. No. If that matters to you, today's the day you can start registering to participate. I don't know how many people they're going to pick.
Actually, I think there were 6 last year or something like that. I don't remember.
Instead of bathroom breaks every hour, this time you'll only get 1 13-minute bathroom break every 3 hours.
Okay. Yeah, last year with the whole, you get 1 break an hour, people are bringing you food.
Yeah, they're like eating sandwiches and wandering around.
It wasn't real. They need to make it a little rougher this time around because I think everybody made it, didn't they, last year?
Yeah. There will also be 6 cringeworthy challenges participants will have to compete.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That involve going into the dark alone.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't do that.
As well as eating and touching creepy and disgusting things to earn points and remain in the challenge. They needed to do something to weed people out because you're basically laying down in a box with a hole cut where your face is. So you're not in a coffin.
No, and you can talk to people. And again, they were getting food and, you know, not that they shouldn't be able to eat. But it's good to introduce like some challenges. That's a good idea.
You want to make this a challenge? Put them in a coffin. Give them an oxygen mask and shut the lid. See how many of them left.
That's not and
the
ones that do don't, that at Six Flags.
The ones that don't go nuts after about 10 hours.
What's the prize for this again? Out. Like a season pass and something
some money.
Else.
I think there's some cash.
$600. Oh. 2 2020 gold level season passes, whatever that means. Couple of a haunted house passes, express haunted house passes. And they get to keep their coffin. Plus, they get a $400 Dunkin' gift card and a couple of nights at a Drury Hotel.
Hey.
All right. That's not bad.
Yeah.
You couldn't pay me to go in haunted houses. I hate haunted houses. I'd be out on that part of the challenge.
Don't like people touching you?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
They
freaks me out.
Violate your personal space.
Keep your hands to yourself. Yeah. Stay out of my face.
I've just never understood that. People who pay money to go in these haunted houses to be scared.
Scream
like banshees when somebody who's obviously only wearing a mask jumps out around a corner and yells at you.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing I feel about like even scary movies. I'm not going to pay to be scared.
Oh, you're see, I love see it scary movies.
Come on, it is out.
No, I am a scary movie junkie. But I do not like being in haunted houses. There's a difference for me. Like
I don't see a difference because it's just all about being scared.
This is
for
where
me.
We separate here because the things that scare me were like what happened on the stage in Houston last night.
A haunted house full of Democratic
frightened the hell out of me.
Presidential candidates.
We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.